On Parenting Today, this week, we're talking about Christmas and we're talking about the family worship experience.
That's Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on another edition of Parenting Today, a special edition. I'm your host, Ruthie J. We've been talking about different aspects of the Christmas story and trying to help you as a parent chew on these thoughts so that you learn also how to dive into the details and bring them alive to your kids, how to ask questions and get involved with your kids, not just speak to them.
Yeah, it's a dialogue. We want to create a dialogue. And so the only way to create a dialogue, as we've talked every day this week, is to set the time. It's not going to happen. No, it can't happen in the car. We want to set the time where we can have a Bible in our hands. And as we set the time, I think each day of the week, Christmas week, we pick a Christmas passage. One Christmas passage we did on Monday was Matthew chapter 2, and it was the story of the Magi, and then we told the story of Mary in Luke chapter 1, and then we told the amazing, amazing story of Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And today we're going to continue this. For me, it's more Joseph, even though Mary's in the middle of this. For me, it's Joseph and all the provider things he wants to do and how great he was. But
right. What
we want to do as a family is we want to get our children not just focusing on wrapping those awesomely colored gifts underneath that tree. We want them to not miss this, and we've got to do a little battle, and you've got to set the time, and it could be dinner. It could be dinner. It could be bedtime, everybody in their pajamas, or it could be breakfast table. Everybody has to find their place. And what we're doing today is, and this week is giving you some examples. I know some download this. I know some will use this to actually play it. But when you play it, stop in various places and say, what do you think about that? What do you think Mary was thinking? What do you think Joseph was thinking? Mm-hmm. Get them in a dialogue rather than just have them listen. Because if you're just going to have them listen and not get them in dialogue, just put on VeggieTales Christmas.
Right.
At least they get to watch something too. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, there's an amazing moment in the life of Joseph. We talked yesterday about Joseph having this weird, incredible corner turn where Mary announces she's pregnant, and it's by the Holy Spirit. She's still a virgin, and she has to say that to Joseph. And Joseph loves her, and he decides, you know, I know what I'm supposed to do here now. I'm brokenhearted, but I know I have to, and it says, put her away quietly, divorce her quietly, not to shame her, not to hurt her, divorce her quietly. And I'm sure there are those religiites that say, no, we have to stone her. Because of the violation she's done here. But he decides to divorce her, and he has a dream, and the angel in the dream tells him, no, everything she said is correct, and you're going to, in a manner of speaking, train up this godchild and name him Jesus, the Savior of his people and Savior of the world. Well, he's there, and he marries her, apparently, as that passage, as you taught us, and I didn't see it yesterday, and he marries her, and it's getting to be that time for her to have this baby Jesus. And then a weird corner turn. It's, for me, the second say what for Joseph, because he goes online in Nazareth, and all of a sudden he gets an email from the government in Rome, and the government says, this time the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Now, we get a historical context in verse 2. This was the first census taken by Quirinius, the governor of Syria. Those two matrix give us exactly when, basically. That's how historians know that, by going through history and finding these two people, mm-hmm. these two leaders. But here's the fly in the ointment here. All return to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. In the Barnes household, that means we would go back to New Market, Virginia, population 800.
Wow.
In the Ruthie household, I don't know where that is. You'd have to go with your husband wherever that is. So that would be ancestral home would be?
Ancestral, somewhere probably in Colombia.
Wow, cool. Well, it's he didn't quite have the trip you would have to take,
right.
Or me. But here's the deal. She's about to give birth, and he's got to make this trip, this long trip from Nazareth on a donkey, not reclined in a seat so she can deal with her pain, down to Bethlehem. Wow. And it says in verse 4, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancestral home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, all the way from up in Galilee down south of Jerusalem, 3.5 miles to Bethlehem.
Don't you think it's interesting, though, you couldn't opt out of this?
Correct.
Because you had to go to this town. But wouldn't Joseph, if he knew that this was the Son of God, this was Jesus, and it would... The Son of God would be born in Bethlehem. Shouldn't have he made that trek already? But that's getting too deep
into
it.
No, I think that's an interesting statement. And the statement is this: we have so much information.
Yeah, I know.
Because we have online search tools.
Right.
And if I were Joseph today, I would have done an online search tool on everything I could find out about the Messiah. Maybe he went to the synagogue, the little synagogue in Nazareth, and said, can you just walk me through the scrolls and show me the prophecy? Why, Joseph? I just want to know the prophecies for the Messiah. Maybe. I don't know that he knows that, and maybe I'm reading too much of me in there. I had so many plans. I mean, I've made a cradle already.
I've built
all these things, and Mary's mom and the in-house birthing person, who's midwife, who's in the village, you know, we're getting ready for this, and we're a couple of weeks out, and all of a sudden I find out I have to go. I guess there's a logical question for me. Should I take her? Should I take her? Although she also is of the lineage of David. And so it's a return home for her also. But should I take her? Shouldn't I take her? And I want to be there for the birth of my, quote, son. I mean, people are looking at her askance here in the village of Nazareth anyway. And are you going to be a part of that harlot's birth scene? It's just brutal.
I find it fascinating, though, how God uses human events, even government events, though, to complete his will. Part of the plan, part of the prophecy was that the baby would be born in Bethlehem. They wouldn't have made it had the decree not been made. And how many times do we complain when all our plans have changed? I mean, this is something that I've also had to deal with. Boy, God, you've physically had to change things in my life because of government rules or whatnot, family movements and all that. But God works through those also, not just through individuals, but through government, a census. He worked through a census just to make sure that prophecy was fulfilled.
So what's the takeaway here?
That God works all things together for good. He's in control.
Rome is not in charge. The irony and the arrogance of Rome is God just goes, twink, call a census.
Now.
Now. And all of a sudden, there is this Roman emperor named Augustus saying, we need to do a census. And I decree that. Really? And so I think the discussion around the table here is, so what are some of the things that outside organizations, pagan organizations, government organizations have imposed on us this year as we walk away, realizing that God is in charge? If I'm Joseph, and this decree comes, and the guy comes riding through on his horse and decrees this, go to your village of ancestral birth, and I'm initially going to go for a walk. I may have done my research. You may be right. I may be wrong. And I may have gone to the synagogue, local synagogue rabbi and God rabbi, and this might be my Elizabeth. Mary gets to go to Elizabeth and see this old woman pregnant. I may have gone to the temple, to the synagogue rabbi, and him say, well, this is where it's going to happen. It's going to come in Bethlehem. And I may have walked away from that as Joseph saying, well, now I'm doubting the dream, but I've married. I mean, wow. And then no way. No way. I can't believe it. And the angel wants to whisper in his ear, way.
You're just going, buddy.
Yeah. And no way that you did this, that you're getting me to Bethlehem. It all fits. Or it's one of two. It depends on the temperament. If it's the Ruthie temperament, that Joseph's going, I can't believe you did this. This is awesome, Lord. If it's the Bob temperament, I can't believe you did this to me. I don't want to go to Bethlehem. If it's the Ruthie research temperament, it's, wow, I didn't know how you're going to get us to this and fulfill all of prophecy. But there's another little niche here. He took Mary, his fiance. So we're not sure when this whole thing is happening on the marriage.
Right.
He took Mary, his fiance, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. You have got to be kidding me, God. And let's add to it a little bit. Gave birth to the first child, a son, wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, in a cow trough. Kids, anybody know here why they named him in a cow trough? Yeah, there's no room at the inn. How can that be? How can that be? And I was rebuked by my pastor son, who said, you know, I've been thinking about it, Dad. You have this scorching sermon about the innkeeper. What if the innkeeper was sleeping out there, too? What if he'd given everything to everybody, including his own bed, because of this census? And what if there are three other pregnant people in there, in his house, in his bed? I mean, wow, Dad, you've been so harsh. I think the fun thing is, in Antoni's book on this, she talks about the lambing pens. in mangers. A lambing pen is where they would put a sheep to give birth. It's a very nice place to give birth to lambs. And the birth that they were giving were the lambs that would be the Passover lambs, because the Bethlehem had the temple herd that would be taken in for Passover. And now all of a sudden the star and everything has pointed to Bethlehem and the Lamb of God in a birthing pen. But if I'm Joseph, I don't know all these things yet.
Right.
I may get them later on. They may all come to me in my prayer time, but I'm thinking, okay, we did this trip. Okay, she's in pain the whole trip. And you say, and she heard you say, angel, blessed are you. And she heard Elizabeth saying, blessed are you among women. Mm-hmm. And she's in this hay having this baby after this long trip, and there's no place for us. I got to ask some questions here. And as a dad, as a husband, at least I want to take care of this situation. And Joseph, you do know the proverb, don't you, son? Trust me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Mm-hmm. In every decision, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. That's all we want.
Yeah.
It's a calling of our kids at this moment to see how things don't look good, don't look right. And then we go and we look back later on and go, wow, what the world meant for evil, God used for good. This is a great Christmas story. And the Christmas story is, kids, we're going to give our acknowledge that we have a total connection, a 10G connection to God instantly. But it's even better than that, because it's 10G. He not only hears us, he directs us. He has planted a GPS in our life, in our little brains, and he directs us. We just have to choose to trust him. I don't know if Joseph had an attitude on this thing. I know I would have had an attitude. Can't believe the census. Can't believe the donkey thing. Can't believe no room. Can't believe born in a stable. I can't believe how I ran around panicked and everybody was shut for the night and everything was full and nobody took pity on us. And they will later on, because the Magi come to a house.
Yeah.
They don't come to a manger. But Lord, I am trying, and I think that's the deal. I'm trying to trust you with all my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to lean to my own understanding of how I think the details ought to be worked out here.
Right.
I'm just trying to get it, Lord, but I'm choosing to trust you. Mm-hmm. It's a great scene.
It is. It is.
And it is the Christmas story scene. And it is a scene that's very, very applicable to the little eyes that are watching and listening. And draw them in to the things they didn't see coming in life, and that we didn't see coming in life, and the difficulties we didn't see coming in life. And kids, I have to believe Joseph couldn't see any blessing out of this, and it turned out to be absolutely, unbelievably incredible.
And that's how it is in our lives as well. Maybe if you're struggling financially too with the kids, say, you know what? Jesus was born in a very poor situation. Now, the King of Kings, the ultimate, the creator of the universe, should have been born with fanfare, the paparazzi should have been there.
Oh.
Everyone should have been there. And no, he was born in a stable, in a manger.
Yeah.
And he can now identify with the poor.
Yeah.
And yet he can still identify with royalty because he is the king too. So
yeah.
He did it all in one scene, and we can all relate to him now.
And everything shows up. We're going to see tomorrow the shepherds choose to worship, even though they were busy that night.
Mm-hmm.
But the Magi chose to worship. But the stars chose to worship. But the angels chose to worship. Everything came. And I guess my closing question to my children at the table would be, why do you think God could have chosen anything? You know, I think when the Magi came through Jerusalem, they must have looked and thought, probably that house, that's the biggest house here in Jerusalem.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, surely it'll be something magnificent like that, what we're used to.
It is the King of the Jews. They came looking for the King of the Jews.
The King of everything. And so, kids, why do you think he came like this? And I want to hear their answers. And one of the answers is probably going to be because he came approachable, Daddy. Everybody feels comfortable coming to a baby, especially a baby in those kind of surroundings. Everybody. But he also cares about all creatures, and he revealed himself to the creatures in the stable that day. I don't want my children to miss Christmas. I don't want to miss the Christ Mass. I don't want to put all the pressure on my pastor to do all the work. That's not his job. It's my job to be the priest in my home. It's my job every single morning of Christmas week to present one of the Christmas stories from the Bible for the glory of God.
Amen. You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, you can find that online at shfm.org. That's shfm.org. And if you want to hear this devotional again, maybe even hear it with your kids or share it with a fellow parent, you can find that online at parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow for our Friday edition of Parenting Today as we're going through the Christmas story tomorrow, looking at the shepherds and what happened when the actual Christ child was born. From all of us at Parenting Today, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We hope you join us tomorrow as we learn more about our Savior.